Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing today, Dave?
It's nice to be in the office here,
yeah,
so to speak.
It's been a bit. I was out for 3 weeks consecutive. You were out for a little bit, so it's been a while.
This
nice
is nice.
To see you.
It's nice to be reunited. Morning, everyone. Phil and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us is here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. I know Phil's got a doozy of a fact pattern for us today.
It's a good one. It's a good one, boys and girls.
It is a call-in show. I heard through the rumor mill, a.k.a. 5 minutes ago when you guys told me.
Yeah.
There were four phone calls last weekend.
You know, I think I was out for 4 weeks. Everybody missed me so much, they couldn't restrain themselves.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's always a good idea, though, to call in early.
I can't
right?
remember if we had two phone calls ever
it
last
was right,
year
right from
me.
The get, right, John? The first call was
yeah,
literally
right from the get-go, yeah.
10 seconds
wow.
in, maybe. So.
Well...
I don't know
could,
what you said, but...
We could rep... I mean, we can go
good.
Maybe even five today if you want to call us at 518-476-5900. And if you say, you know what I got is a little too juicy for radio, I can't share all these details, come on into one of our three offices in Albany, Kingston, and Saratoga Springs, and you can give us a call at 518-465-7581. Phil.
Yes.
September is tomorrow.
Unbelievable. I say it every year, but I do feel like every single year the summer goes by quicker.
I know. You're right.
Is that just part of getting older?
What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. More responsibilities?
I am a contrarian on this year because if I said to you, like, something that happened in your life in June, you'd be like, that seems like a really long time ago. Right?
Yeah, I guess
yes.
So. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like the last 6 weeks, like, flew. But I also feel like, holy cow, July 4th seems like a really long time ago. Like, my daughter's lacrosse schedule seems like ages ago.
Well, I think you're so busy with children's stuff and so many things
as
have happened, as am I as well. So, but it still feels like you're looking for summer and then, poof, it's gone.
Well, they sure speed it up. I know, like, a month ago, maybe even longer, John, you were talking about seeing Halloween decorations. And that was, like, that was in July.
I've seen more than that.
Oh, yeah. So...
Yeah, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, have even seen the Christmas stuff out now.
Little by little, it's coming.
Are you guys...
Yeah.
I feel I'm emotionally prepared for fall. Like, I'm ready.
Okay, good.
Are you? Are you trying
yeah.
to just want one more weekend?
No, I'm good.
My wife
it.
Can't wait, so I better be ready.
I put myself in my kids' shoes. I feel bad for. Summer was always very magical as a kid, right? And
yeah.
You could do anything.
Yeah.
You had freedom.
I remember there, Phil. I remember. You know? Yeah. And we had here locally, like, the Scaticoke Fair is going on right now, right?
Yeah.
So we knew as kids that when the Scaticoke Fair ended... So did summer, and it was time to go back to school.
That signaled the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Summer fun. One last hurrah.
You know, a little melancholy.
Well, we're going to go from relative peace and calmness
to chaos.
I tell you, John, yesterday we had a little meeting talking about all these events.
Yep.
Phil's speaking engagements, Jane Marie's speaking engagements, mine, the Alzheimer's walks that we have coming up.
Oh, yeah.
The fall's always busy.
Right.
People are not going away as much.
Sure.
Want to get the word out there. So fall's a busy educational month, if you will.
Time to make plans.
Yeah.
Well, let me just focus on two for a moment, Phil, just to make sure everyone knows, because one of them is at the William Sanford Town Library here in Loudonville and Latham.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Marie is going to be presenting on wills versus trusts. That's September 12th at 10:30, so absolutely free.
Yeah.
You got to call our office to register again, 465-7581. That's a really great seminar. And then I know that you and I are double dipping on Thursday the 19th. We're already talking about mid to late September now.
Yep.
At 10 a.m. or at 2 p.m., we are in, together with the Colony Chamber of Commerce, going to be presenting that same topic. We all have our different spins on it, of course. So if you can make one of those, it's a great way to kind of get a 45-minute or an hour and 10 minutes, depending on who's talking, version of the whole world of estate planning. I think it's our best seminar.
It's a good one. And feel free to come multiple times because you can never, you know, you pick something up new each time, learn a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
The 10 o'clock show is nothing like the 2 o'clock show.
That's right. You know, there's not going to be any talk of toasters in the 2 o'clock show.
Laugh all you want, guys. Toasters make the world go around.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and I do have a personal barbecue notice to give, but I'll do that later on.
Oh, okay,
our church
right.
has a big, unbelievable barbecue. But anyway.
Nice. Good. That's great.
Phil, you texted me.
Yeah, I had, well,
tell
you
me.
Know, ironically, it was a topic I was going to discuss last week, but like you said, we had four callers. I never even got to touch it. So.
Yeah, right.
Here's your last chance. If you don't want to hear this fact pattern, just give us a call.
You
want to
delay it more.
Yeah.
Well, no, so I have a financial advisor I work with who's a buddy of mine, who give me a call from time to time. And in this case, he had a new potential client approach him in somewhat of a more rural area down in the Greene County area, kind of by the ski mountains over there, right?
Okay.
And he gave me a call with an idea in mind, you know, this have this new family. It's a second blended marriage. There's children from both relationships. A lot of the assets, he was called by the wife's children, okay?
How old are these people?
So they're in there, I believe, late 70s to early 80s, or some combination of the two.
Okay, so got it. And I have one more question, which I think is really pertinent. How long has the second relationship been going on?
A long time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long time relationship.
Okay.
It's not a new marriage. Been married for a long time. But there's, you know, his and her children, right? And a lot of the assets, when they went into the relationship initially, were previously the mom's. So majority of the assets, there's a few real estate properties, were hers. Okay.
So second spouse.
Well, the spouse of the child who called initially.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Over time they commingled them, right? So then now they're both owners on them. So as you know, Dave, if one person passes away, husband and wife, spouse and spouse, and they're joint owners or whoever it may be, it's going to automatically go to that other person.
Yeah.
And the concern became, well, you know, we want to make sure, and the husband's in agreement that these assets go to our mom's kids, me and my siblings.
Oh, okay. I got it. So her stuff goes to her kids, his stuff goes to his kids, within reason.
Within reason, but there's not much of his stuff, put it that way. Even though he's joint on things, the majority was hers when they went into the marriage.
Okay.
And the husband's in full agreement. He has some children who are estranged, but he's starting to have some cognitive decline. So the initial thing here was, well, how do we make sure that eventually the assets go to the mother's children? Because, we know if it's joint and she passes away first and those kids come back into the picture, as dad gets older, he may become more vulnerable to what we call undue influence, if you will. We've seen that happen. So that was a major concern of theirs initially. But as we were talking, and he started to say that, you know, she takes care of him all the time now, and it's only her taking care of him. And I just said, well, who do you mean? Who's taking care of him? And well, the wife. And she's older herself, and it's a lot on her. She can barely manage it. So obviously my spidey senses are going off there, Dave. And I say, well, are they looking to get other care in place? Do they have other care in place? Well, they want to, but it's a rural area, and, you know, she's fine right now. I said, well, you know, listen, there's also a potential that we can get what we call community Medicaid in place here.
Wow, this is checking lots of boxes.
It's checking lots of boxes. It's a good intersection of a lot of things that we do.
I can see, Phil, daughter's perspective here. I feel like we've met with daughter a bunch of different times, in different versions of daughter or son, where they kind of see the future, they see the writing on the wall, and their nightmare scenario, through no ill will of stepdad, is something happens to mom. She's a caregiver. She's getting old a lot faster because of all that drain. Something happens to her. Snap of a finger. No probate, no this, no that. Everything now belongs to dad. They are just stepkids to dad.
Correct.
In the world of guardianships and this and that, they have zero priority compared to his own blood.
Absolutely. And it is a case where the stepfather, the husband in the situation, is fully on board. And it's not that they don't trust him per se. It's just like I said, as someone gets older, they can be influenced and, you know, kind of change things that they may not have changed otherwise. So we want to avoid that from being a potential possibility.
Could I ask you to separate the care part?
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about that towards the second half. And just from the nuts and bolts, like estate planning, accomplishing the goals that it sounds like the both of them have.
Right.
Right. What's your thought process on how you're going to achieve those goals, right? Which is her stuff to her kids, his stuff not so much, where he wants. He may even say everything can go to my wife for all I care. Who knows?
Sure.
What were your thoughts on it?
Well, to a degree, it goes hand in hand with the Medicaid portion, which I'll put to the side to a degree for now. But to get him qualified for Medicaid, as you know, we had to move stuff out of his name. And to your point, he does want all his stuff, which is much less than her stuff, to go to her and ultimately her children.
Her children.
For whatever reason, his kids, quote unquote, got enough, and there's some issues there.
Okay.
Not necessarily estranged, but he's on board with that plan. And he has some cognitive issues beginning, but they got it early enough that he's still fully competent, can discuss these issues at length and express his wishes. So this is one of those good cases where the family noticed the issues early on and did seek some kind of help. And it's funny because they didn't actually go to an attorney. The financial advisor who I'm somewhat close with and I've educated, if you will, on our stuff over time, kind of picked it up.
So he issue spotted and said, hey, this you should talk to Phil.
Exactly.
So it sounds like if you asked dad, stepdad, who his kids were, or he would probably say he considers his wife's children to be his kids.
Yes, I would agree with that. That was how it was presented.
That's where it gets real dangerous, John, because if it's one thing to consider someone your kid.
Right.
It's a different story when they're actually your kid in terms of the legal world and their rights and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's, you know, there's a difference between, you know, Uncle so-and-so who's one of your buddies, right?
Yeah,
and that's what you're, you know, and actually your brother. There's a difference between the two.
Yeah, there's different legal rights and then the standing that those individuals have to cause, you know, problems that they're trying to avoid. So, you know, in this case, we want to avoid probate, first of all, if the husband predeceases. If the husband predeceases, it's not as big of an issue because everything would go to the spouse anyway. That's how it's currently set up. It's jointly owned. But we have no idea who's going to pass away.
You can't rely on that.
You can't rely on that, obviously. So the idea here would be to put everything into the wife's name first. You know, get that also gets him qualified for the Medicaid. He's below that Medicaid threshold of about $31,000. And do a trust for the mother, right? So we're going to also protect assets for her in the future and avoid probate for the kids. You know, if she passes away second, the children of the husband don't have legal standing to get involved. But again, we don't know what's going to happen.
So you're saying because we have this bigger goal of getting some help in the house, if not right now, eventually, let's get this clock ticking. We got to get things out of their names and a little more formal of Medicaid trust. And you're saying specifically that trust will be in wife's name.
Correct.
Accomplishes eligibility instantly for dad, for husband, makes a lot of sense. And then if, God forbid, something did happen to her first, that's where I think you're going to allow, dad to have some rights, but not so many rights that Medicaid can start snatching things.
Yes, you hit it right on the head there, because obviously we wanted to make sure we protect him as well, and he has to feel assured. So, for example, one of the assets is the primary residence where they live down in Greene County. So in the trust, we can specify that if wife predeceases husband, who's not a grantor, an owner of the trust, he has the exclusive right to reside in that property, remain living there. He can't be charged rent. We can give him all those rights so that he doesn't have to be scared that his stepchildren are suddenly going to turn on him and kick him out, right? Because that's, you know, he doesn't think that would happen. But obviously, again, we don't know what the future holds and we want to protect him.
Their priority, Phil, is each other.
Of course, and it should be.
But within that, then they can go, okay, that's a given. Now let's go to the next step. Their priority then becomes her kids.
Right.
And it doesn't just happen. You got to have it all spelled out. You got to have it in a way that's going to accomplish the multiple goals that you're trying to accomplish for your client there. And if you're listening and you're like, wow, wait a minute, I can't follow this. This is way too complicated. It's a second marriage with a house. That's it, guys. Yep. That's all we're talking about. Because if he wanted his money to go to his kids, her money goes to her kids, you still need a plan.
Yep.
You still need to spell it all out. In this case, it happens to be all in her kids' direction.
Correct. Not always, though.
But it's a second marriage with a house,
and
they're getting older. That's like central casting for us.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with the second half of Phil's Fact Pattern and this show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kupikian.
And I am Phil Vacchio.
If you didn't listen to the first half of the show, shame on you, number one, and you're going to have to listen to the podcast so you could catch up. But number two, it is a call-in show, and 518-476-5900 is the number. If you missed us in that first half, and just to recap, Phil walked us through a very normal, believe it or not, fact pattern that we get, that he happened to receive second marriage. Husband not doing so hot, wife's doing lots of the caregiving, and their actual estate plan, the meat and potatoes stuff, is they want things eventually to go to her kids, not his kids.
That's right.
And Phil is fighting a three-pronged war here, trying to get that final result for them, but also along the way, save them some money and get some stress out of their lives. And where we left, Phil, was you're going to do a trust to get the plan to end the right way, but also get that eligibility for care.
That's right. That's right. So, and Dave, what you were doing as I was talking through, you were pointing out certain red flags that's our job to see, because you can't look at these fact patterns from a one-sided scenario. You have to look at it from multiple facets, and we're achieving what we want to achieve now, but also planning for potential future occurrences, right?
Well, John may not know this, but John, we did a DISC assessment at our firm, where everyone does, you answered some questions and tells you what kind of personality traits you have and whatever.
Oh, really?
Turns out, Phil and I and Jay Marie, we're good listeners.
We are.
Yeah. Well, you should be.
Who knew? No, seriously, it was really funny, because what we happen to do for a living, and I think we're good at it, is partly because of those personality traits, so
you have to listen.
I mean, validated what we hoped was true.
Because otherwise, we were going to just go into a different industry. But thankfully, the assessment worked out.
Yeah.
So, Phil, we'll talk about care in a second.
Yeah,
please. If something does happen to wife, if she does pass one day, mm-hmm. we have a situation where she has a trust. Everything's in her trust.
Correct.
And the priority, I assume, is going to be to keep that gentleman at home.
That's right. That's the goal here. And he's, like we said before, recorded early enough that the level of care that's needed is not so high. And ideally, this plan will last for a long time. We're not dealing with someone who's in complete crisis mode and, hey, I might have to go into a nursing home tomorrow. It's just the signs are there. There's some level of care needed. They didn't think care was even an option. So that wasn't something they were discussing. They were just looking at the one side that we've discussed so far, which is, hey, let's make sure we protect the wife's kids, which both husband and wife are on board for. That's what they both want, which is great.
Yep.
So creating the plan in this sense is going to achieve that, right? So we keep it out of the husband's probate if he passes away second, so that his children can't cause issues. It's not
That's not their plan. That's not what they want.
Right.
So perfect.
Yeah. So we've achieved that so far. We have to be concerned, though, if mom or wife passes away first. We do want to protect the spouse as well.
Yeah.
We're getting him. He has a decent amount of income in this situation. We want to make sure he has the right to live in that house. We're going to put some money aside in this situation to make sure expenses for the house can be paid for. So there's certain things that we can do. But that is very fact-specific and goal-specific in their case. But we're protecting them both in that sense.
Yep.
We're also planning for the future. We're talking about the spouse issue, the children issue, and what we call community Medicaid right now. That if you guys listen, we know there's still no quote-unquote look back for. But it's potential in the future that one of them will need nursing home care. So we also want to get that clock ticking, if you will. So we're hitting it from multiple angles.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. Right?
We're looking at everything.
Multiple angles, pivot if necessary. So back to the idea of care, right? When they approached with the situation, I brought the idea of care, and even the financial advisor to me, he goes, well, how is that an option? They have assets. And I said, hey,
they have too much money.
I said, though. I thought I've taught
they
you
make
better.
Too much money.
I thought I've taught you better than this by now. We've been buds for a while, and you know, but he's not in it in the weeds like we are every day, so it's easy to forget because they also had, you know, some kind of mobile home in Florida. There's some other assets there, and then the income prong. And I said, well, no, it's quite simple in this case. We move things around. We talk about this pooled income trust all the time, where we can protect the husband's income to still pay for expenses, and we can achieve all of this. But the other issue that came up, which I think our firm is somewhat uniquely able to handle,
yeah,
is the rural aspect, right?
I like hearing you say rural.
Rural.
I can't say it either.
What's
the correct pronunciation, John? How do you say it?
I say not urban.
Rural, non-urban area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they even had some trouble finding private aids. They've kind of looked at that aspect before. So, Dave, who do you think I brought in from our firm on this situation?
Oh, I don't know. Kim Hance?
Maybe Kim Hance.
Would have been my guess.
So I approached Kim and I put her in touch with the family as well. And lo and behold, Kim has some contacts in that area. And the thing here, the caveat here was, because it's rural, they'd be able to get more care if they would agree to a live-in. Okay? There's a certain program. I don't want to get too technical. Yeah. Nursing home waivers. So this guy had enough cognitive issues, general cognitive decline due to aging, we call it, where we can get him qualified for this sub-program under community Medicaid. But sometimes, depending on where you are, it's easier to get a live-in, yeah, than to get an aide to come a few hours a day, because who's going to want to go into the backwoods rural area? You know, it's hard to staff,
yeah,
that.
Back and forth every day. Yeah. Yeah.
And this family happened to have a finished basement with a little apartment that they don't use.
Okay.
So they're prime for a live-in. They were not opposed to it. Totally, mm-hmm, totally great situation for that. So we got to discussing it, and sure enough, we're going the Medicaid route now.
So there, I would think that when we're getting someone like a live-in involved, the care situation's a lot more serious than I previously thought in this fact pattern. Right? It was mom, you know, wife is providing some care. We know it's going to only get worse because of the diagnoses, yeah, and all that stuff. So let's get ahead of it. A live-in is, that means that he needs it.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, the initial conversation, and we see this commonly, to a degree they downplayed the care that's needed. You know,
Or mom did, maybe.
Mom did, exactly. Right. Because there's a pride component sometimes, denial. You know, I can handle this. It's not too much for me. I can still do it, which she's been doing it, but it's only going to get worse. And, you know, there's also what we call caregiver burnout.
Yep.
I mean, you said it earlier. It's very possible the caregiver is going to pass away first. We see that all the time. And a lot of times it's somewhat in part due to all that stress that's on them and the care they're providing that they're not totally equipped to do.
I'm gonna treat this like an infomercial for a second, because I always love these infomercials. So you're going to be the guy with the Australian accent.
This is a Foster's commercial.
You're telling me, Phil, that you could have a fact pattern, honestly, so you could have a fact pattern where last week, right, in the middle of August, people have assets in Florida, they have assets in New York, they have income that's way above what they're allowed to have, they have, mm-hmm, assets way above what they're allowed to have, they have a complicated estate plan, and they have nothing in place, and you could, in one fell swoop, create a trust that accomplishes the estate plan, that protects assets, and then through community Medicaid, the pool trusts of the world, the Kim Hances of the world, mm-hmm, get a care plan put together where they're not losing a dollar of income.
Yep.
And they're not losing $1 of asset.
And it sounds unbelievable, right?
It does sound unbelievable.
They were utterly shocked, and we've seen it many times when clients come in and they don't think that's not possible.
Well,
what are you doing? Are you committing fraud? What are you doing? How can you do that?
But my mechanic's friend's neighbor told me that,
right,
blah, blah, blah. And not only that, this could all be, you know, I'm not going to the office today. It's Labor Day weekend. But someone could go and literally do a trust today,
yeah,
put stuff in it today. It's Saturday. Banks are open, right? You can move things around and be eligible financially tomorrow.
Yeah. And
it's it does no one sound believes it.
Unbelievable though. When you say it.
It is unbelievable.
But it is. We're playing within the bounds of the system. They have certain rules and regulations, and if we know those rules and regulations and follow them, we can get someone.
The other thing about our assessment, good listeners and rule followers. I'm not kidding. We are right down the line.
We were made for the industry.
So that's a at the same time remarkable and unremarkable fact pattern, because we see it so frequently.
We do, and it sounds very complex and that there's a lot involved, which there is, but we do it so often that it's kind of second nature to us, whereas the client, it's really life-changing to them. And, you know, this process with them, it really has just begun. So it's going to be, you know, there's a road ahead of us to get there, because we have to move assets, get
the care
in place.
Right caregiver, and hopefully everyone ages in the right order and slowly.
Yeah.
And all, you know, that stuff.
We set their expectations and said, you caught it early enough, this is going to be a process. But however, if you don't do it now and it gets worse and you start then, there's going to be a lot less options, put it that way.
I just want to point out to the listeners, you mentioned that they were in their like late 70s, I think you said.
Yeah.
You don't do this only when there's a spouse that's got a cognitive issue. The trust that Phil was talking about, regardless of who you want to leave money to and regardless of whether we get along with our kids or we don't, that trust should be something we're really thinking about in our 60s.
Ideally, you want to plan, you know, I always tell my clients, like 60 to 70, depends on your health, depends on your situation, depends on your goals.
But if you believe you're going to keep control, and our job is to show you how that happens, and we all have our different ways of describing it, if you believe that and you see it and you understand it, there is no downside to doing a trust a touch earlier, because guess what? The fact pattern you had could have been daughter came in because mom just passed away, and there's stepdad, and there's nothing in place.
Yeah.
And they're very fortunate that their financial advisor got them to you when they did. But I can't let this go without saying, hey, you know what? They could have done it 10 years earlier, too.
Absolutely.
Not the care part, not the live-in part. Just the create a trust, avoid probate, get money to the right people part.
Yep. And a lot of our job is dispelling a lot of myths and misconceptions about the different kinds of plannings, because you have your neighbors who are saying one thing. You're reading on the internet certain rules from California and Texas.
Trust. Don't do it.
Yeah, and things work different state to state, and there's a lot of misconceptions about, and that term irrevocable, we say many times, they picked a very scary sounding word to most people, irrevocable. It has a very negative connotation associated with it.
They should just call it complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated, so that's all right. It's not irrevocable, though. Phil, let me get back to we got a minute left here. So just to recap some of these seminars coming up, and you could email us at info@herzoglaw.com or call our office 465-7581. September 12th, 10:30 at the William Sanford Town Library in Lowndeville. It'll be Jay Murray talking about wills versus trusts. A week later, Phil and I, 10 or 2 p.m., pick your poison. We'll be talking together with the Colony Chamber of Commerce about that same topic.
Chances. Don't mess it up.
And then here's the big one. Next weekend, September 8th and 9th, I'll be behind a grill. I'm going to smell like kebab and chicken for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
The Troy Armenian Holy Cross
I forgot about
picnic.
That. Yeah.
It's back.
Dave raves about these kebabs. I haven't tried one yet. I'll have to come down myself.
255 Spring Avenue in Troy. We'll be talking about it next Saturday morning as well. You better believe it.
Excellent.
Summer's over, Phil.
Listen, fall's a great season. I'm looking forward to it.
I was born in September. I was married in September. It's a good month.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.